Today we're going to be talking about Numbers chapter 7. So if you could open up to Numbers chapter 7, we're going to look at leadership. And what does it mean to be a leader? Oddly enough, we had a leadership meeting just before we went to California. I like how God talks to Job at the end of the book. He says, gird yourself as a man, meaning sit up, get ready, because I'm going to deal with you. And leadership, I want you guys to gird yourselves up. Take note. Let the word here touch your heart. Chapter 7, 1 through 10 says, now it came to pass when Moses had finished setting up the tabernacle that he anointed it and consecrated it and all its furnishings and the altar and all its utensils. So he anointed them and consecrated them. Then the leaders of Israel, the heads of their fathers' houses, who were the leaders of the tribes, and those, and over those who were numbered, made an offering. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered carts and 12 oxen, a cart for every 2 of the leaders, and for each one an ox. And they presented them before the tabernacle. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, accept these from them, that they may be used in doing the work of the tabernacle of meeting. And you shall give them to the Levites, to every man according to his service. So Moses took the carts and the oxen and gave them to the Levites. 2 carts and 4 oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon according to their service. And 4 carts and 8 oxen he gave to the sons of Merari according to their service, under the authority of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. But to sons of Kohath he gave none, because theirs was the service of the holy things, which they carried on their shoulders. Now the leaders offered the dedication offering for the altar when it was anointed. So the leaders offered their offerings before the altar. Leadership. We see that the leadership comes together here. Each one representing a tribe. Each one representing a group of people, and they all bring, it says here, 6 carts together and 12 oxen. Each of the leader brought an ox from his tribe, and then 2 of them came together and they brought a cart that represented. And so they, I don't know if they put monies together or what, but we had 6 carts with 2 oxen to pull each cart. And the Lord divided them up to give to the tribes. And the Lord divided them up according to their work. Now, you have to think back with me a few weeks. I've been gone. But the guys of Gershon, they were to carry all the coverings of the tabernacle. All the coverings, the linen that segregated the tabernacle. And so they gave them 2 carts and 4 oxen. 2 carts with 2 oxen to pull each one. But yet, for the folks of Merari, he gave 4 carts and 8 oxen because they carried all the hardware. They carried all the poles, the beams, the pillars, the sockets, all the heavy stuff. So they got twice as much. But then Kohath didn't get anything. You see, they were to carry the ark. They were to carry the altars. They were to carry the candlestick. Everything was to be carried on what? Their shoulders. So humility was their gift. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And you ask, what kind of gift is humility? I mean, here they are working hard and this is what they get? It's like working hard around the house and in return getting poison oak. What's up with that? That's not a gift. Listen, each tribe was giving according to their duty. Some were giving more, some given less, and some received nothing at all. Yet each tribe's duty was a benefit for the entire nation of Israel. Each tribe had a job to do, and their job was a benefit to the entire nation. So each gift that was given was a benefit to the entire nation. No one could measure himself or herself by what gift they received, because the Lord himself distributes each gift. to each person, each tribe, each nation, for the benefit of everyone. Well, Pastor Dave, how does that work out for me? You know, how does it work out for today? Well, in Romans chapter 12 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see spiritual gifts being given out. And I want to just read something to you. If you want to turn there, you may, or you just take note. Romans chapter 12, he goes on to say, "So we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them." So Paul is saying we all are receiving different gifts, but it benefits everyone. And use what you have. Even if it appears that you don't have anything at all, you are given something. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see the same thing in verses 4 through 7. Then again in verse 11, he says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So although it appears you may not have anything, or what you were doled was something unworthy or lowly, it's for the benefit of everyone. And sometimes the most heavier weights are the ones like humility, patience. So these gifts here that the leaders gave the Levites to use, they were to benefit everyone as they moved the tabernacle on. And I really want to hone in on this for just a little bit, because Kohath received no cart or ox, yet they handled the very ark of God. There are times when we feel like, man, I don't teach on Sunday school, I don't do this, and yet God says, you yourself are the temple of the living God, and he lives within you. What are you doing with that gift I've given you? And sometimes he whispers in my heart, Dave, what are you doing on earth for heaven's sake? I mean, we might say that from time to time. Well, what on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? But stop and say that in a different view. What on earth are we doing for heaven's sake? How are we serving the Lord? You see, to them was given the honor of transporting the vessels the Lord chose to dwell within the tabernacle. You know what moves the heart of God? Are the shoulders of those who are humble, who live, love, and serve in humility. Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 20 of servant leadership. He says, do you want to be great in the kingdom of God? Then learn to be the servant of all. Kohath, they didn't receive a cart, but their service was tremendous. We look back at the patience of God as we look at Kohath as they carry the ark. We see the goodness of God, the steadfastness of God. You see, sometimes Dave's way isn't the best way. I'm one of those guys that want to do it now, right now, get it done and go. Like King David. Hey, let's move the ark on through and bring it to Jerusalem. So he went and he got a cart with oxen and he put it on there and they took off. Well, you know the story. As the ark was on the cart, it hit a rut and the driver put his hand back to steady the ark. And God killed him. He wasn't supposed to touch the ark. Wham! David was furious. God, we were doing this for you. We were moving this for you. And you can almost hear God saying, really? Like, I need your help? It was more like this. Oh, really? Like, I need your help? And sometimes we need to be careful how we handle the things of God. Maybe we should be handled ourselves versus trying to handle God. Uzzah, his name literally means strength. And sometimes, I got this one, God. I can do it. I'll just plow right on through it. And when I start to rely on my own strength, and God goes, uh-uh-uh. So David stopped. And then when he went to get it again, he brought the Levites and they carried the ark. And every six steps, do you know what he did? He stopped and he prepared a sacrifice to the Lord. Every six steps, stopped and he sacrificed unto the Lord. And you and I think, well, that wasn't very efficient. No, it isn't, but it's effective. See, God isn't always efficient, but he's very effective to make the mark, to make the impression that we need to hear, that we need to do, that we need to live. And so we learn the faithfulness and the steadfastness of God through the humility that he allowed Kohath to bear. Servant leadership. Jesus says, if you want to be a servant, if you want to be great, if you want to be great, learn to serve. Learn to serve. Verses 11 through 89, we're going to see the gifts that every leader gives personally. These first gifts they gave representing the nations, and now they're going to give personally. We're not going to read all the verses because we're going to find something out that every gift was exactly the same. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. I'm going to be reading verses 11 through 17. Verse 11, for the Lord said to Moses, they shall offer their offerings one liter each day for the dedication of the altar. And the one who offered his offering on the first day was Nashon, the son of Amminadab, from the tribe of Judah. His offering was one silver platter, that the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goat as a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Nashon, the son of Amminadab. As we look at the other 11, they offer exactly the same thing. And we can go into the offerings, but instead of looking at what each offering means, I'm just blown away that they're all identical. I see two things here, and I want you to take note. If you're taking note, the first one, each one was to offer his gift all by himself, one-to-one. As a group, they all came together, and they brought the carts and the oxen. But when Josh came to bring his offering, he says, no, I want Josh to come by himself. I want my full attention to be on him. I remember when Becca was young, she still does it, during Christmas time, doing what's the best thing she likes to do, to grab her gift and give it to who she's giving it to. You just see her light up. Open mind first, Dad. Open mind first. Well, okay. And Dan, no, open mind first. And they're just so pleased to bring me their gift. And God wants to give the offerer his full attention. He wants it. Just, I remember going to a wedding once and we walked in and they said, oh, just put all the gifts over there. Before we said anything, before we were greeted, they pointed to where the gifts needed to go. And I thought that was just, okay. And we just heaped our gift up there with the other gifts. But that's not with God. God deals with one-to-one and says, come to me, son. Come to me, daughter. I want to have fellowship with you. You see, when we meet eternity, when we are there with the Lord, we will stand before him one-on-one. I will not be able to stand before the Lord on the basis of any other man's work, only what he's allowed me to do. I will not be able to stand there saying, well, my dad is a great pastor. My dad did this. No, he's going to say, yeah, but what have you done, son? Well, my uncle, man, my uncle, he knows every hymn forward and backward. Great. But what about you, my son? I don't know if any of you parents have noticed this. When I'm talking to Rebecca or to Daniel, and let's just say there's something going on, halfway through, inevitably they point to the other person. But they, no. I'm talking to you. And God's like, no, I want to talk to you. And each one of us stand before the King one to one, that he can receive our praise, he can receive, and also that he in turn would give and bless. The second thing I noticed was every gift is exactly the same. 12 guys show up every day, exactly the same gift. Now, I believe that every gift is exactly the same because each gift is acceptable. I think with these 12 men, each one of their gifts was acceptable. Well, what does that mean? Do you remember Cain and Abel and the gifts they brought? Were both those gifts acceptable? Cain brought the fruit of the earth, a grain offering, an acceptable gift. Abel brought the first of his flock, an acceptable gift. But when they brought them, Abel's was received, but what about Cain's? God stood up and he hit the gong. No. Cain got mad. He got so mad he actually killed his brother over his jealousy. You see, it wasn't acceptable. Well, what makes one acceptable and the other not acceptable? Well, we see in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Someone's heart was right. Someone's heart was right. Oh, my Lord, my King, I just want to give to you. All right, if I gotta. Always passing that plate around. If I gotta give, I gotta give. And Cain's, God said, you know, that's a really nice gesture, but I don't want it. See, that's what God says. When I give, whether it's my time, it's my serve to make goodies for Sunday. It's my turn to carpool the kids to wherever. When my attitude becomes like that, God says, you know, I would really rather you didn't do it. I'd rather you be happy in what you do, even if it's less. Do you remember the widow's mite? She gave just a little bit of money, and Jesus said, oh, she gave more than all of you, all those guys. Why? Because she gave with joy. She gave all that she had. She gave luxuriously, even though it was small. It's not the size of the gift, it's the position of the heart. These 12 guys' gifts were acceptable. Why? Because their hearts were right. It's important. Very important. You see, in 1 John, it says this, chapter 3, verses 11 through 12, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Abel's heart was right. It says that he gave by faith. Now, this is the scary part. We were talking about weird stuff the other day, Friday. When we give in faith, when we give God with a right heart, we're children of God. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, and to those that receive him, he gives the right to be called children of God. Cain here is called of the wicked one. You're either for me or you're what? You're against me. You're the child of God or you're a child of the wicked one. And God says, man, I would really want you to be careful how you give because it reveals your heart. It reveals your heart. You know, if you listen to Kenny Rogers, you got to have a poker face. You got to know how to hold them. No one to run, no one to walk away. But God says, I can read through that poker face. I know what your heart looks like. And he wants a clean, pure, honest heart. Each of the leaders were given the opportunity to give personally. Man, they personally came before the Lord and Moses and said, this is from my house to you. Our first gift was for the nation, but this is from me to you. Just as Joshua say, as for me and my house, this is from me. Like Becca, Daddy, open mine. Open mine. You see, every leader leads in everything, even in giving, and especially with a pure heart. The fact is you all are leaders. The question is where are you leading? Each one of you is a leader. People look at you and people follow you. You may not be, quote unquote, in leadership of CC Glide, but you're a leader at home, with your family. The question is where are you leading? Where am I leading? As for me, my house will serve the Lord. Really? God can see through my poker face. How's my heart? Jesus is so concerned about how I give, not what I give, how I give. He says, therefore, if you are presenting your gift at the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, what does he say? Leave your gift. Don't present it to me. Reconcile with your brother, take care of it, and then bring me your gift. God is so concerned that we have pure lives, not giving it things in hypocrisy. Look what I've done. Gosh, I'm good at that. I've done it all my life. Look at me. Look what I did. And God says, I know, I see you. Sit down. You know, and we're just that way. And the Lord says, beautiful gift. Go and get the heart right and then bring it back to me and we're gonna celebrate. Beautiful gift. Let's not give with the Eeyore. And when I talk about giving, I'm not just talking about money. The Lord is more concerned about your family than your funds. The Lord is more concerned about your life and your witness. That's what's valuable to him. Just shortly after Jesus talked about the servant leadership, he said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, be the servant of all. If you want to be first, you need to be last. And then he showed the guys, you know, this is how it is. The world, you know, lords over them, you know. Hey, I've got the boss badge on here. Get in line. Jesus, not so with you. You guys learn to be servant leaders. Lead by example. Serve with humility. And they leave. And they start to go off to Jericho. And on the way to Jericho, I mean, immediately afterward, and it's almost tied to the same story, two blind men approach Jesus. And they cry out to him. And Jesus says, what would you have me do for you? You know what they said? Open our eyes. Open our eyes that we would see clearly. And Jesus, moved with compassion, touched them, and they could see, and they followed him. My heart's cry is that the Lord opens our eyes on how we can live our lives to him in a manner that is clear. That we're able to give with a pure heart. We can serve with a pure heart. We can stand before the king and say, no, really, I want to do it. No, I want to. My heart is that the Lord would move us in that direction of seeing clearly. Just as this group of leaders invested to the work of ministry, I want to encourage you guys to invest in the kingdom of God with your very lives. We said earlier, we're just passing through. It's here today, gone tomorrow. The Lord refers to our lives like a flower. And I thought, oh, that's just pretty. He's like, yeah, it's pretty one day and it dries up and it's dead the next. Thanks, Lord. And he says, you're beautiful to me, but I'm taking you home quicker than you think. Quicker than you can even know I'm bringing you home. You know, as weird as it might sound, I can't wait. I loved you guys and hanging with you guys, but I can't wait to be with the one who made me, to live in an eternal state of love and worship. I can't wait. People, oh, Dave, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. And I say, you're no earthly good until you're heavenly minded. What on earth am I doing for heaven's sake? Jesus, speaking of investing, he said, where your treasure is, your heart is there also. Matthew chapter 6. Where your treasure is, your heart is there. It means your heart follows your money. Your heart follows the things you treasure on this world. Your heart doesn't dictate your treasure. Your treasure dictates your heart. Jesus said it, so it must be right. In Luke, Jesus said, he spoke about a man who had this barn. He filled it all up and goes, man, I need to build a bigger barn so I can store more grain in this thing. The Lord's been blessing me. So he tore his barn down. He built a bigger barn. And the Lord said, you fool. Today your soul is required of you. And he said, a fool is one who is not rich toward God. You're so concerned about your earthly wealth that you're not rich toward God. Now, if our treasure dictates where our hearts go, and a fool is one who's not rich toward God, I say let's invest in heaven and watch our hearts turn toward heaven. Let's invest. I was talking to a brother recently who said, man, I wish I was more compassionate. I'm not compassionate enough for people. And while he's saying that, you know, I think we're driving someone, cut him off. Hey! And I was like, yeah, you could use some compassion. And I said, why don't you start investing in that? Invest in it and watch your heart change. If you find that you're not rich toward God, start investing in the kingdom. Your time. Start with your attitude. I need to start with my attitude. I want to invest in that because I really want my heart to be right with the Lord. I don't want to get to heaven and see that look of so close, yet so far away. Invest in the kingdom and your heart will follow. May the Lord open our eyes. May he give us a pure heart. May our lives be a gift acceptable unto the Lord. So I was reading this to my wife this morning. She goes, gosh, that reminds me of Romans. I'll read it to you. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or acceptable service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we wholly give ourselves to the Lord, no holds barred, just give. Give our lives to the Lord. He says, that's acceptable. That's beautiful. Just like that widow with her mite. Just like that little boy with his fish and loaves. Might be meager, but when the heart is right, it's grand. Father, I pray you open our eyes. Open our eyes to the reality of heaven. Open our eyes to your economy, Lord, that the first will be last and the last will be first. Open our eyes to servant leadership. May our heart for giving be because we want to, because we're thankful. It's not the size of the gift, it's the position of the heart. I thank you for this body that you've given us here in Calvary Chapel Glide. We've got wonderful givers, beautiful hearts. Lord, continue to hone us in. Continue to grow us up. Continue to lead us person by person. household by household, community by community. Lead us, Lord. Just as the song said, open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus, the one who gave it all. So, Lord, as we dine together as a family today, as we laugh, as we watch the video and have a great time and good memories, may we leave this place with a pure heart, living acceptable lives for Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.